Names such as Vera Wang and Michael Kors may conjure up images of sparkling sequins and elegant evening gowns, but if you look at the beginning of the creative processes for these designers, it is a completely different story. The rather unglamorous location of New York's garment district is where everything starts to take shape. A little way further south than the glittering runways, the garment district has helped get numerous startup American designers off the ground for over 100 years. A typical designer might start their day right in the center of the garment district, purchasing fabric, zips, buttons, or other odds and ends to be used in their latest collection, careful to buy in bulk so they do not miss out on a 10% discount for doing so. They might then head off to a warehouse to start work on their latest creation, and hopefully allocate some of this work to interns or a seamstress. Interns are, however, quite often hard to find, so a lot of the work and running around is done by the designer themselves. This could mean a lot of time spent dashing back and forth between shops and the warehouse. The contrast between this sort of grungy, everyday hard work and the beautiful final product is startling. The designers are very aware of this fact. They realize that to a designer in New York, you have to be prepared to work in less glamorous surroundings and do most of the work yourself. The garment district is far from picturesque, yet it is vital and irreplaceable for the designers who can find so many supplies tucked away in the district's many streets. Nearly half of all New York's designers have their samples created in the garment district. This, of course, means that the garment district provides lots of revenues and jobs for the area. Clothing production is the biggest division of manufacturing in New York City, with 24,000 jobs in the city, and more than 7,000 of those based in the district itself. The revenue that the district produces is a staggering amount, more than $2 billion. It's hardly surprising, then, that the district attracts so many aspiring designers. Some of the now successful ones claim that they would not be where they were today if it were not for the garment district. They value the worth of having things made locally so they can check on things like how making the samples is going if they need to. They also claim that in order to succeed, you have to be able to maintain control over the creative process, and the only way to do this is to keep everything local. Some of these designers say that even now that they are successful, they still need the garment district. They therefore are not fans of outsourcing. A few designers even report that they would have gone under if they had chosen to start out using overseas labor rather than the district, because it is much more difficult to really see what is happening if production takes place overseas rather than overseeing a process happening in the same city as you, where you can visit personally to check on production. A new scheme sponsored by the Council of Fashion Designers of America will further help up-and-coming designers get their businesses up and running by offering them positions in successful fashion companies in the garment district. Some designers state that this is a more valuable experience than it seems. Yes, of course, it is great to build up connections in the industry, but you learn lessons from the people working in the garment district too, like pattern makers and seamstresses who know the tricks of the trade. It is a very competitive industry, and it can be hard to make your own way, so these tips from people already established in the district can be vital for a new designer's success. It is easy to believe that as a result, designers remain loyal to the area, with some famous names in fashion still producing around 80% of their clothes in the garment district.